We have taken part in a journey for the last several weeks on when God changes our plans. We went through the Old and into the New Testament with various Bible characters, how God stepped into the routine and the mundane experiences of their lives and brought change. And the responses, varied responses that were exhibited. Now we're in the Christmas holiday season, and we're going to be looking at the change that God brought into the lives of Bible characters in the Nativity. And we're going to go through some of the most well-known scriptures of the New Testament describing the Christmas story. And it's going to be morning and evening. The message entitled, The Christmas Story, When God Changes Your Plans. We're going to note the Nativity story is illustrative of God breaking into the routine of individuals and bringing His supernatural will and altering their lives. Two-part message. We're going to see the varied responses, both good and bad, on the part of many of these Bible characters that changed the course of their lives. We're going to look at Mary. We're going to look at Joseph. This morning, we're going to look at the shepherds. Going into the evening series, the wise men, King Herod, the chief priests and scribes, Simeon, Anna, all of these individuals and how God worked in their lives. So let's begin our journey. And I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 1 and verse 26. The book of Luke, chapter 1 and verse 26. And if you've arrived there, we'll ask God's blessing upon His word at this moment. Father, we thank You for the word of God that records what occurred in the fullness of time in the hearts and lives of not only our Savior, but these Bible characters whose lives were changed in a moment in time through the will of God. And Lord, may the change that we experience in our lives, may we learn from the biblical principles that we'll see today and this evening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you there now? Luke chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verses 26 through 38. Reading in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, we've been dealing with Elizabeth. Elizabeth is now the mother of John the Baptist. She's 6 months pregnant. The 6 month of Elizabeth, her pregnancy, that tells us that John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And I have to insert a great amen there. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. For this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. God appeared unto Mary. Several things I would like for you to note regarding Mary. First of all, the Word of God tells us that Mary was a pure woman. She's described as a virgin in verse 27. Don't allow any skeptics or any of Bible-denying persuasion to tell you that the term translated virgin here is not to be understood in the miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many translators would say she was just a young woman, but it's the Hebrew word alma used in Isaiah 7:14. And we have here in Luke chapter 1, we have the single fulfillment prophecy, the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And the word translated virgin is the Greek word parthenos, which means an unmarried virgin, having never known a man. Mary was a pure woman. Also, she was a privileged woman. Now, many would deify Mary. We know that. Some of you are from Roman Catholic background, and you're familiar with the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception, which teaches that Mary was sinless and did not possess a sin nature. Many will call her the Mother of God. Such is not to be understood as a privileged concept, because none of that is biblically true. But she was privileged in that she was selected by the Lord. Notice she's called highly favored in verse 28. That word highly favored, however, is the same Greek word translated accepted in Ephesians 1:6. And it's true of every believer in Christ. We are accepted in the beloved. That's the word, highly favored. But notice, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou, not above women, but among women. Mary is not to be deified, but neither is she to be vilified. She is to be recognized as a privileged woman. As a matter of fact, Mary was also a very perceptive woman. Oh, in verse 29, when she was troubled at the saying of the angel, notice she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She was a woman who received biblical truth and meditated upon it. And she was also so pliable. She was a pliable woman because she accepted the truth. And she did according to the word of God. But just think of Mary, a woman who was pure. All of a sudden, the news of this great angel Gabriel comes to her, and she sees her reputation at stake. Human fear comes into her life. Fear of losing her beloved Joseph. Fear of what her parents might say. Fear of the community scandal. All of the misunderstanding. But when change came into her life, Just like sometimes change comes into our life, we need to learn to do what verse 38 says. We commit ourselves according to the word and the will of God. Then I want you to notice with me, Joseph, the earthly father, not the true father, for Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and his father was the Lord God himself. But notice in Matthew chapter 1:18, we're going to be going between Matthew and the book of Luke as we piece together the Christmas story. Let's look at change from the perspective of Joseph. And you can see before you a pondering, questioning Joseph. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The espousal period, also called the betrothal period. Notice it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's take a look at four observations regarding Joseph when God brought change into his life. First of all, number one, he sought the Lord with his problems. Notice the word of God says in verse 18 through 20, the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. The betrothal period was a 9-month period that was considered even stronger than the engagement period. The betrothal period, the woman was regarded as his wife. However, they came not together physically. This was to prove the purity of each one of the marriage partners. Joseph, her husband, when he hears she's found with child of the Holy Ghost, her husband, being a just man, a righteous man, notice what the word of God says. He sought the Lord with the problems that he faced. Here change is brought into his life, but he's a righteous man. He's also a merciful man because it says he's not willing to make her a public example. Now, I've heard sermons where individuals said that Joseph could have had Mary stoned. But I want to remind you that if you study the period of Roman occupation and authority, capital punishment was actually removed from the hands of the Jews and placed solely into the hands of Roman authorities. If you look at John, don't lose your place in Matthew chapter 1, but if you look at John chapter 18, John chapter 18, verse 31, notice what the word of God says here. Pilate said unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. But then the Jews made the comment, Therefore they said, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. So you see, the ball was being thrown back into the hands of the Roman authorities. But he did have a right of putting her away. And he sought to do so privately. He was not a vindictive man. Joseph, there's not a lot that is said about this man in the scriptures. The last reference to Mary is in the book of the Acts. But not much is said of Joseph, perhaps he having died before even the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice how he seeks the Lord. He was minded to put her away privately, but while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appears unto him in a dream. And he says, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And God brought change into his thinking. And he responded to that. He responded to the word of God. He listened to the Lord for his guidance. Oh, how we need to listen to the Lord when God brings change and the unexpected into our lives. We've seen that in the lives of the other characters of the Bible that we've studied, how God brought change. Well, Joseph listened to the Lord for his guidance. He didn't think, what are my friends just going to say? Or what are my parents going to think or others? He was willing to listen to the Lord. And the word of God tells us that he listened to the word of God. He heard the prophecy in verse 23 of Isaiah. The virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. He shall be called Emmanuel. And look at verse 24. He obeyed the Lord by his actions, being raised from sleep, as did the angel of the Lord bidden him. He took unto him his wife. You know, all that Mary worried about, God took care of in Joseph's life. I know sometimes when young couples are planning on marriage and they're launching out and they worry about one another, perhaps distance separates them or different circumstances. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is able to make the winding pathway straight? God changed Joseph's thinking because Mary was willing to do according to the bidding of the Lord. And God tells us, you leave it with me. You obey me when I bring change into your life. I'm able to handle the rest of it. Some of you are undergoing change in your lives. Perhaps you're approaching retirement or entering into a phase of your life where you find yourself much more dependent than you were before. Keep on trusting the Lord. Be obedient unto the Lord. God assumes full responsibility to his child who trusts in him. And Joseph honored the Lord through his obedience. And notice, he was a disciplined man who trusted in God. He knew her not till he had brought forth the firstborn son. You see, he would not take advantage of any situation whatsoever. He still maintained a good testimony of those that were outside. And he had self-discipline. Even though she was already conceiving, he could have easily said, well, no one will know if I have physical relations. He honored God's word, kept himself pure. And how critical it is that we honor the Lord in our obedience as well. You know, the story of obedience and change in the midst of all of it doesn't just stop with Mary and Joseph. We can complete our study and look continuingly by looking at Luke chapter 2 and see the story of the shepherds. Let's see what the Word of God has to say in the continuing exposition here of the nativity Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 with the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Notice it says, "And they were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. These sheep were set aside, destined for sacrificial offers. But now here, watching over the flock by night, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." You know, the shepherds, first of all, in verse 8, were found faithful. They were at night keeping watch over their flock by night. Oh, they had their routine, but they were faithful. Do you want God to lead in your life? Be faithful in that which you were doing for the Lord. But you know, they were also fearful. And when I say fearful, I'm speaking of, yes, human fear, but there was a divine reverence. A divine reverence to do what God wanted them to do. And they were followers of the Lord. They said to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem. They followed the leading of the Lord, and they were fruitful because they told others of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stop right here at this segment because our time is up. But I ask you this question. I ask you this question. What change is the Lord bringing into your life? And we've seen Mary, Joseph, we have seen the shepherds, and we have seen a commonality in their lives. They were obedient, and they sought to follow the Lord in obedience. When God brought change, they did not recoil back, but they believed that God was still in control. Now, tonight, we're going to be hearing the report of some in the Nativity that are in contrast to what we've seen this morning. That when God revealed and gave them light, they recoiled and they disobeyed and they were judged. Oh, may God make us pliable people. May we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. And by the way, it's my prayer that as we gather together with family and loved ones, many of you will have contact with those that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. You know what my prayer for your family is? That God will bring the greatest change ever possible because of the Nativity. That the Word of God will go forth and that some in your families will receive the Lord Jesus Christ and find the true message and meaning of the Nativity. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather together and just read the wonderful narratives of the Christmas story that we have read with our children and our families and loved ones throughout the decades, but never tire of the true meaning of Christmas. And Lord, when you allow change to come into our lives, Lord, help us to think of the greatest of changes, when our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to a world that was rebellious, to a world that received him not. And he was willing to shed his blood and die on the cross, that we, believing in him, might have everlasting life. And Lord, I thank you that we can pray and encourage one another. And Lord, we once again remember our dear brother Jim and pray, Lord, that you would strengthen and encourage him, even in his absence from us. Lord, fill him with your precious promises and truths. And Lord, thank you that the victory is ours through our Savior who experienced death and was buried and rose again that we might have everlasting life. Thank you, Father, that we can look to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.